you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. That's right. Jesus is saying, "I don't bow down to your boss. He bows down to me. I don't bow down to your candidate. He bows down to me. I don't bow down to your doctor. He bows down to me." Why? Because all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Whew, I love it. Well, hello there, friend. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends. It's Joey Kroll with you on this 8th day of November 2012. You doing all right today? Hanging in there? Having a good week? I pray that is true. Wow, lots of great stuff today. This week is a very special week, and it's going to be the main focus, main theme of our program today. So I'll get to that. We'll kind of talk about that here in just a second. Also, you know, we've been talking about it for a couple of weeks now. Our special missions trip, our special trip to Israel is coming up in March of 2013. You think, I got time for that. It's still ways away. No, it's actually right around the corner. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, is it that time already? So if you've always wanted to visit Israel and be part and experience some of the places that we read about in Scripture and the Garden of Gethsemane and the empty tomb and just walk where Jesus walked and want to make a difference at the same time with a special missions and humanities trip. This is all packed into one. It is going to be a fantastic trip in March of 2013. If this is something that you're interested in, love to get you more information. 217-367-7777. 217-367-7777. Or find out more about it at our website, greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, and just click on the Israel trip tab right there at the website. Well, friend, this week is a very special week. Dr. Billy Graham, evangelist Dr. Billy Graham, is turning 94 years old this week. This is unbelievable. I think it's kind of neat that he and I kind of share the same birthday within a week of each other. Actually, he turned 94 yesterday, and what an unbelievable life ministry that this man has had. Born in 1918 in North Carolina, he, according to staff, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, has led more than 3.2 million people to Jesus Christ through invitation, through his crusades on TV and radio and in person, 3.2 million people. So in honor of Dr. Billy Graham's birthday this week, let's go back to 1979 and hear a crusade that he did in Washington State on being born again. This is Dr. Billy Graham in 1979 on being born again.
Now I want you to turn with me to the second chapter of John's Gospel. The second chapter, and I hope everybody has a Bible tonight. I want to speak tonight on a subject that is becoming increasingly, at this point in time, a discussion in the political arena. We're hearing a great deal about evangelical Christians. In fact, there was an article in one of the papers in the last day or two that said the three front runners, so-called, in the primaries, call themselves evangelical Christians, and two of them say that they are born again Christians. Well, this is the first time, to my knowledge, that this has happened in a presidential race in the history of the United States. And I think it's very important that we find out what is a born again Christian and what is a born again Christian supposed to be like. And how do you become born again? Now, I don't mean how do you become a Democrat or a Republican. I mean, how do you become born again? Have a new birth. And I want us to talk about that tonight. In the last two verses, a great crowd of people were following Jesus in this second chapter, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. There was a man of the Pharisees now in this crowd named Nicodemus, a ruler. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. One of the newspapers in Australia said this past week, and somebody sent me the clipping, that religion is breaking out all over America. And I believe that's right. I think there's a greater emphasis today on religion than probably any time since the early founding of America. Now, there are many reasons for it. We've lost a great deal of confidence in some of our institutions, and there's a vacuum in the country. There's been a moral permissiveness that has frightened millions of people as to what the future is going to be. There's been a breakdown of the home in America. And then I think world conditions disturb many people. And then there has been the rise of the occult, Satan worshipers, and demonism, and all the interest in the supernatural. All of this has tended to make Americans religion conscious, and I want to put the word religion in quotes. I'm not talking necessarily about the Christian religion at this moment. I'm talking about religious conscience. Almost everyone claims to have some sort of religion in America today. 92%, according to the latest poll I saw, say that they believe in a personal God, and 72% of the American people say that they believe in a devil. Charles Colson wrote a book, one of the Watergate people, wrote a book entitled Born Again. And I read the other day where Don Sutton was giving a testimony on television, the great pitcher of the Los Angeles Dodgers, and he said, I have been born again. This is what Calvin said a moment ago. I've been born again. I've received Jesus Christ into my heart. I read the other day about Graham Kerr, the galloping gourmet, who said he had been born again. And we read about members of the Manson family who are studying the Bible and talking about being born again. And so it goes on and on and on. So Time magazine asked Dr. Sayre, who is the dean of the Washington Cathedral, they asked him why this phenomenon in America. And he replied, he gave a very interesting reply. He said, some deeper national yearning in the country, a turning towards spirituality, a yearning for morality. Americans want more than anything else this year in their president, the spiritual quality. And everybody is asking, what does it mean to be born again? I'm getting all kinds of letters from people asking me that question. Well, of course, we're living in a revolutionary and changing world. And the greatest need in the world at this moment is a transformation of human nature. To make people quit hating each other, fighting each other, and start loving each other. You can't pass a law and make people love each other. It has to come from the heart. And Jesus said it will only come from a heart that is yielded to Christ, to himself. And that's why he said, you must be born again. But he said something very interesting here, or at least the scripture says about him. The great crowd was following him. And they wanted to follow Jesus in the way, and he put up his hand and said no. And the scripture says he did not commit himself unto them. Now that word commit comes from the same Greek word as believe. They believed in him, but he didn't believe in them. So he rejected them. And this is a very important verse of scripture. Because the people said, the scripture says that Jesus knew what was inside. It's very easy to get up and say, I'm a Christian. It's very easy to get up and say, I believe the Bible from cover to cover. It's very easy to get up and say, I'm an evangelical believer. I'm an orthodox, or I'm something else. But do you have it really in your heart? Have you really been born again? Are you a new creation in Christ Jesus? Have you said, I'm willing to deny myself and take up the cross and go even to the cross with Christ, if that's what it means, to be a born-again believer and Christian? Now, when Jesus said this to Nicodemus, Nicodemus was no ordinary person. He was a ruler. He was a senator in the parliament of that day. He was also a theological professor. He fasted 2 days a week. He spent 2 hours every day at the temple in prayer. He tithed all of his income. And most churches would have been glad to have him. But Jesus said, Nicodemus, that's not enough. You're a senator? You're a theological professor? You have all the outward trappings of a believer and a Christian? But that's not enough. You must be born again. And Jesus didn't say you ought to be born again. He said you'll have to be born again if you're to get to the kingdom. In other words, Jesus is talking about that it's easy to profess being a Christian, but it's a different matter to really know Jesus Christ down in your heart. It isn't enough just to profess Christianity and have some of the outward trappings of Christianity. You must know the Christ of Christianity for yourself. You must be born again. He said it because he knew what was in man. He knew what the heart was. He sees your heart tonight. He knows the things deep down in your heart. He knows that you profess with your lips that you love him, but your heart is really belongs to something else. It belongs to business, it belongs to materialism, it belongs to pleasure, it belongs to something else. You profess to know Christ, but you deny him, therefore you take his name in vain. And how many professing Christians today drag the name of Christ through the mud and the mire and take his name in vain, and they break the commandment that says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Well, what is the new birth? Nicodemus raised this question. He said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter his mother's womb again? And then Jesus gave him an interesting answer. Jesus said, there's a mystery to it, Nicodemus. It's like the wind. You can see the effects of the wind, but you can't see the wind. It comes from one place and it goes to another and you can't see it, but you see the effects of it. You see, Nicodemus wanted to understand it intellectually. He wanted to understand the physical. He wanted it given to him in terms of the materialistic. Jesus said it's impossible. It's spiritual. That which is of flesh is flesh and spirit is spirit, he said. It's an act of the Holy Spirit upon the heart. And the Bible says that we're born, we don't inherit it. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You cannot inherit. There must come a time when you receive Christ. I have 5 children. My wife and I are Christians. My father and mother were Christians. My wife's parents were Christians. But not one of my children could inherit Christianity from me. They couldn't inherit Christ. We taught them as best we could, and my wife had to do the most of it because I was away from home most of the time. And I appreciated the wonderful articles in the paper today about her. She's quite a girl. And she did a wonderful job rearing those 5 children. But we allowed every one of those children to choose for themselves Christ. They could reject him or they could accept him. And I thank God tonight, and I say it to the glory of God, that all 5 have come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And now we've got 11 grandchildren we've got to pray into the kingdom of God. I hope my wife sees this when it comes on television, because she's sick tonight and she couldn't be here. She's running a fever. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just being too near me. That'll sometimes give it to you. But you know, there's some people that think they can work their way into the new birth. But the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Not by works of righteousness. Suppose you went out and worked and worked and worked and did all the good things you could think of in the community. That's fine as a citizen, but it doesn't make you a citizen of heaven. It may be an evidence that you are a citizen of heaven, but you cannot work your way, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If I worked my way to heaven, I'd get up to heaven and I'd walk all around Peter and James and John, who was saved by the grace of God, and I'd say, look here, I got here on my own. Look at all those good things I did down there. I helped build a college and I helped build a seminary, and I wrote some books and I preached to some people and I read the Bible and I had a Christian family and all the rest of it. Look what all I did. I'm going to get up to heaven just like you are, and when they ask me what the password is, I'm going to have to say the grace of God. I'm a sinner saved by His grace. Grace, the word grace means unmerited, something you didn't earn, something you don't deserve. It's a gift of God. And it makes no difference how many sins you've committed or how bad you are. There's no way you can work yourself out of this hole that is leading to destruction and judgment and hell. There's nothing you can do. That's the reason we sing the song, "Just as I am, without one plea, O Lamb of God, I come to Thee." You have to come just as you are. There's no use trying to go home and straighten some things out before you come to Christ. Come to Christ and let Him help you straighten it out when you get home. The thing you need to do is to be born again. Jesus said to this man, you must be born again. We receive the Word of God, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You are hearing the Word of God tonight. You're hearing the words of Jesus. That's the first step. It's like seed. You sow it here and there and everywhere. Some of it falls upon hard ground, some upon good ground, and brings forth much fruit. And it's also the work of the Holy Spirit, as I've already mentioned. You have to be convicted by the Holy Spirit. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment, said John. And it looks a little bit ridiculous and a little bit foolish, and there is a mystery about it. There's something about it I don't understand when a man comes to Jesus Christ. How can I come to a person who's dying on a cross 2,000 years ago and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins, but by faith I receive You into my heart. How could that happen and transform my life forever and give me eternal life, and I have a whole new beginning? The past is wiped out. It all starts over again. A new birth. Foolish, yes. You remember when Elisha told Naaman to dip himself, if he wanted rid of his leprosy, to dip himself in the Jordan River 7 times? There was nothing healing about that water, and General Naaman had a lot of pride, but he had to get rid of all of his pride. He had to get down from his horse in front of all of his troops and go down and dip himself in a muddy river. God wanted him to do something that looked foolish. And the Bible says the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. Or you remember the time that the serpents began to attack the children of Israel? And many hundreds of people were dying, and God said to Moses, make a serpent of brass and lift it up and let the people look by faith to that serpent of brass and they'll be healed. Foolish! There's no medical power in a serpent of brass. They weren't told to pray to the serpent. They weren't even told to look at Moses. God said, look beyond the serpent to me. Just do what I tell you, even though it's foolish. I'm asking you tonight to come to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, even though you cannot understand it all intellectually, and even though it may look foolish to you. One of my associates told me that the chairman of his last crusade was a young fellow who owns a great hotel chain in the United States. And one night he watched one of these telecasts. And he gave his life to Christ. He was born again. His wife and his children were born again. And now they're a happy Christian family. And he headed up the crusade in the town where my associate has just been. That could happen to you tonight. And then after you come to Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells you and you begin to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Now, there are many people that will say, I'm a born-again Christian, that are really not born again. Because Jesus said, by their fruits ye shall know them. They have to bear the fruit of the Spirit. But you'll soon know, and there will be a peace and a joy in your heart that you never knew before when you come to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to ask you tonight to come and make sure that you have been born again. You may be a member of the church, or you may not be a member of any church. You may be in the choir. And I'm going to ask you, thousands of you, or hundreds of you, to get up out of your seat and come and stand in front of the platform and say, by coming I receive Christ. Why do I ask you to come? Every person Jesus called in the New Testament, he called publicly and openly. There's something about coming forward that settles it and seals it in your heart. It's an outward expression of an inward decision that you're making. If there's a doubt in your heart that you've been born again, you come and make sure tonight and receive Him. And after you've all come, I'm going to say a word to you and have a prayer with you and then give you some literature and you can go back and join your friends. Now, from that upper balcony up there, it'll take about 4 minutes for you to come. So start now. Men, women, young people, hundreds of you, get up right now and come and make sure that Christ is in your heart. Make sure that your sin is forgiven. Make sure that you're going to heaven.
That's right. And thousands came forward that day, that awesome, incredible day of 1979, honoring Dr. Billy Graham for his 94th birthday this week. Unbelievable. What a mighty, mighty man of God. Friend, my name is Joey Kroll. Thank you so much for letting me spend some time with you on this Thursday edition of Mark and Friends. Mark and Jason here in the studio tomorrow continuing their study through the book of Ruth. Until next time, friend, remember that you are salt and you are light and you are the hands and feet of Jesus.